Okay, Kim, are you ready?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we're ready.
And, oh, is Cindy there as well?
Yep, Cindy's here too. Hello.
Cindy, hello. There you two are. And Lisa, are you ready?
It's okay. I'm ready, Mr. Mayor. I'm just checking to make sure Tom and Amber are on the line. There's Amber.
I see we have Tom Weider and Amber are on the line.
Yes. Who's Tom?
And then there's another Tom.
I think that's
Tom Radke, probably.
Oh, Chief. Okay, there you are. Good evening, Chief. Okay, good evening, everybody. It is 6 p.m. and this is a work session for the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Tonight, our work session topic is a Baylor project update and presentation. Kim, can I please get you to call the roll, or Cindy, please call the roll, please?
I'll go ahead and do it, Mr. Mayor. Assembly members, David Powell.
Here.
Corson.
Here.
Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe. He said he probably wouldn't be attending the work session this evening, but he'll be on for the assembly. Dalrymple.
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka.
Present. Okay, so we have in tonight as a part of our package, we're going to be looking at the Baylor project for our solid waste project there. And I would like to turn it over. I guess, Lisa, I don't know if you want to take it, or are you going to have Amber or Tom take it on from here?
Mr. Mayor, I'm just going to do a quick introduction. As everyone is aware, the borough is under an obligation to make sure that we are able to ship baled garbage. We do have a bit of a deadline, and we've been given an extension as long as we're showing considerable forward progress. And Tom and Amber have taken the lead on this project and have moved it forward substantially, as is evident of the things that are in the packet tonight. And I believe Tom is going to be leading the presentation this evening, and I'm going to turn it over to him, if that's okay. And he's got about 30 minutes of a presentation, and then obviously we'll have about 30 minutes for questions and answers with the assembly. And I'll let him take it away.
Thanks, Lisa. I am actually currently experiencing a little bit of technical difficulties. I am using a laptop, and for some reason I am not able to get the PowerPoint presentation to bring up. It just keeps telling me it can't read the PowerPoint. So Lisa, is there any way that you could, I just emailed you the presentation, and I was wondering if there's any way that you could pull it up, or Kim, and share your screen, and then we
can you email it to me, Tom?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
I will send it to you right now. And get it to you. Okay, coming your way. Sorry about that, everybody. I had it all prepared and everything was working on my computer and phone, and now that I'm on a laptop, for some reason it's not working. Let me know when you see it, Kim.
Okay. Oh, I got it.
Okay. Yeah, then if you could just share your screen, and we'll just have to make the best with it. Sorry about that.
Tom, I have a question for you. Do you have a shade on that window by any chance? Because
I do not, but here I can try to.
That's much better.
I can reposition.
Okay, great. Much better.
How's that?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Kim, if you're able to share the screen, we'll jump right into it here.
Okay, hold on one second. Let me share screen. Right, this one?
Yeah,
okay. Can you see that?
I can.
Yeah. Can you still see that?
We can, yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it. Good evening, everybody. Mr. Mayor, Assembly Members, Borough Manager, and anybody who may be listening in at home. I'm Tom Weider, Public Works Director here in town, and I am here to talk with you guys about our Baylor project that we've been working on here in Wrangell. I started with the city here in November, and this has definitely been a pretty big project since I have been on board here. So with that, we can go to the next slide. So just a little bit of overview, like Lisa had mentioned, in 2018, Republic informed the city and borough of Wrangell that we had until 2023 to begin shipping our trash in closed containers. Last summer, there were several fires on the with trash containers. One of them was ours. Fortunately, it was on the dock in Ketchikan. Another one that was coming out of Sitka started on fire on the bar, Puget Sound, and was a big problem for AML. And as a result, they have moved the timeline up from 2023 to June of 2021. Here in Wrangell, we average about 3 to 5 tons per day of MSW, and we have a peak of about 6.5 tons per day in July. It's our busiest month of the year. Over the last 5 months, many options have been explored throughout this process. We have been working with a consultant for several months from Washington, and we've been communicating with several of our surrounding communities to learn more about, you know, how they're managing their trash and the things that work well for them, and maybe the things that they would have liked to do over on, I guess. Next slide, please, Kim. Well, going to start off with a little bit of comparison here. And then talk about some of our additional equipment and next steps and things later on in the presentation here. If anybody has a question, feel free to ask, and otherwise I'll be happy to answer everything as best I can at the end of the presentation. So the drawing that you're seeing on your screen now, this is the technical spec for the model baler we plan on getting, the Harris Badger baler. And throughout this process, you know, we considered, you know, do we buy new, do we buy used? And some of what we have come up with throughout this process, you know, if we buy a new baler, the manufacturer will help us set up the machine. They will provide us technical support. There will be a warranty service. You know, a brand new machine, maintenance costs should be less, at least early on, of having that machine. The biggest downside is the initial cost. You'll see later on the baler comes in at just over $347,000. And so that is a big ticket item, and certainly one not to be taken lightly. When considering a used piece of equipment, you know, some concerns, I guess, would be we'd have to get somebody to be able to inspect a used machine. We would probably have to pay somebody to dismantle it. Maybe we could work that out in an agreement or contract with the seller. Shipping is a little bit more of a moot point because Harris is based in Georgia, and so they pretty much have to ship it across the country either way. Maybe we could find something a little bit cheaper on the West Coast, but that's a little bit more of a moot point. Reinstallation, if we bought used, we would likely be on our own. There wouldn't be a warranty service, and you know, like buying any used piece of equipment, maintenance costs are a little unknown, I guess, at least at first when you buy anything used. And size selection and compatibility. You know, I looked for a while at used balers, and a lot of them, they're either way oversized for our needs or way undersized. And I think if we had until 2023, it would have been much more feasible for us to be patient and to really shop around and really look around and really wait for, you know, the right one to come up. In the times that I have looked this winter, it's been, you know, pretty slim pickings for anything that would fit our needs. Another big advantage of buying a used baler would definitely be the initial cost. You know, that would, you know, obviously probably be lower than what the $347,000 is for a brand new machine. So it's a little bit of kind of what we came up with here when comparing new or used balers. And with that, Kim, we can jump to the next slide. Click it again. This one might have had animation. So, okay, so the picture there is again the same model that we would be looking at getting. That is the Harris Badger baler. The layout is just backwards on this machine. This was a picture I found off the internet, whereas the picture from the previous slide, the technical spec, came directly from the documents we got from the manufacturer. But that is just kind of a color picture to see what it looks like they're baling. Looks like aluminum cans there, must be some sort of recycling facility. But that's an idea of what it looks like in use. And with that, could you hit the mouse again, Kim? A couple more times, two more times, one more. That's good. Great. Thanks for bearing with me, everybody. So another thing that we looked at and compared throughout this winter and when working with our consultant here is the difference between a baler and a compactor. The baler is what you see in the picture there. A compactor is a much larger machine that you basically back a trailer up with a container on a chassis. It attaches right to the machine and it basically compacts the trash into the back of the container versus the baler that makes individual bales that you then load into the container. And so just a little bit of comparison, these are kind of the two options that you have for being able to compact trash. Essentially, they have the same result in that you have compacted trash in containers, but just the way you get there is a little bit different, I guess. And so in comparing these two styles of machines with the baler, a big advantage is cost. A compactor comes in at close to $1 million just for the initial startup. And the balers are used in surrounding communities, Petersburg and Ketchikan and Thorn Bay. And you know, a lot of our neighbors are already using balers. A really nice thing about a baler is that it can be used for garbage and recyclables. It requires significant cleaning and you have to stop and basically just really thoroughly clean the machine before you're able to switch from garbage to recyclables. And at this time, we're only looking to do garbage. Recyclables is something that could be added later on down the road and the baler would give us the option to do that. And the last bullet point there on the left, the Harris 2 Ram baler, the Badger model, that is the one we would be looking at getting. And so just a couple other things on the compactor, you know, they definitely have a much higher payload capacity. They're primarily used in bigger cities, bigger municipalities and big counties. And so they're a little bit oversized for what we would be needing, which is reflective in the cost. And throughout my research and working with the consultant this winter, I was not able to find any operational experience of a machine like this in Southeast Alaska. And the compactor is one-dimensional in the sense that it only deals with garbage and doesn't actually give us the option of adding recycling later on down the road. So that's a little bit on the compactors and the balers. And so with that, Kim, if we could go to the next slide, please. So this project doesn't just entail a baler. That is certainly by far the biggest ticket item to get us in compliance with the companies that manage our trash. However, there are several things that we will need to do in addition to the baler to ensure efficient and effective operations. One of those being three-phase power. The baler has a 50 horsepower electric motor. And we will need to install three-phase power up there at the sanitation building. We're looking at getting a forklift, preferably a used forklift. The top right corner there is a Mitsubishi, which is what we're considering getting, mostly because WMLP and the Harbor Department already have basically the exact same forklift we would be looking at using at the sanitation department. Another big component here is the mobile ramp. That is the big red ramp there in the bottom right corner of your screen there. And the alternative to a mobile ramp is a loading dock and significant building modifications, which was going to drive up the cost. And the mobile ramp is very similar to what Sea Level currently has and uses to load everything that they do in the summertime. And to my knowledge, they've had their ramp for over 10 years and it sits out in the elements and gets pretty hard use from them. And, you know, the paint might be gone, but it's still a very functional, good piece of equipment. And so having this mobile ramp allows us to do minimal building modifications. We'd be able to move it around and we would be using the ramp to basically drive up the forklift with and load the bales into the back of the container. An air compressor for cleaning the baler is a significant piece of equipment. In talking to operators and our consultant and things like that, putting water on garbage is not really what you want to be doing. It usually just makes a big mess and makes things a lot worse. And so the primary way that you clean balers and things like that is with a large air compressor and brushes and brooms and things like that. We do have capability to wash down at the facility. There are drains that are there, and our staff do ensure that these drains are clear several times a year. And so that is an option and one that we will have to use occasionally, but the primary way to maintain that equipment is by air and brushes and brooms. Platform scale. Currently up at the facility, we have one large scale in the roadway, which is great for being able to weigh things coming in and out, but we don't have a great way for being able to make our target weight with the containers. And we are charged a lot by weight, and there is a sweet spot that we want to hit. If we're underweight or if we're overweight, we're essentially losing money in that scenario. And so this is similar to what Petersburg has, which is the top left picture there in like the middle of your screen there. That's a picture of Petersburg's platform scale that they use. And basically what happens is as the bale comes out of the baler, it is bound with a wire tie. We can weigh it. We can just attach a quick card to it, to that wire tie with how much it will weigh. And then we will store the bales in an area within the facility. Once we have enough to fill a container, we will communicate with AML and try to ensure that our containers are hitting that target weight. So having the platform scale will go a long ways for us to be able to do that. Automated vehicle scale upgrades. So we currently charge by the yard here in Wrangell for our waste, and we are definitely leaving money on the table by charging in that way. And there's really no other places that charge in a similar way as what we do. We're essentially charging the same amount of money for a yard of styrofoam as what we are a yard of rubber. And those two things obviously weigh a lot different. So we need to have better use of our scale that's up there. And so we would like to get an automated system that basically has traffic control lights. It has a little kiosk thing that can print you out your ticket or that can bill straight to people's utility accounts. And we would basically have to create a two-lane road on the side of the sanitation building where the scale is currently located. And that will allow us to maintain operations at two staff and streamline some of our operations. We would also be looking at including, an option for being able to pay with a credit card or debit card or cash up there, because not everybody is going to have a utility account that uses that facility. If somebody's just in town visiting, we still need an option for being able to charge those folks. The steel grid. So up at the sanitation building, there is a 6-inch concrete floor in the building, and that is basically the minimum recommendation from the manufacturer to support this heavy and large of a piece of equipment. And so Amber and I have been talking with some engineers about that, just to ensure that our floor is basically going to be able to hold this equipment. And it sounds like in the past, the manufacturer, when they have experienced similar things like this before, the recommendation has been to basically create a steel grid out of I-beams underneath the baler that spreads out the weight on the floor. And the engineers are going to give us a little bit more information. We have a pretty good idea of where we want the baler to go inside the building. And the biggest thing that the engineers will help us with is, do we place the primary load over the tension ties or just over like the 6-inch concrete floor? And what I mean by that is where there's cold joints up in the concrete floor at the sanitation building, It's about 10 inches thick. And it was poured that way, you know, it was designed that way. And so you've got strips basically in the floor that are 10 inches thick and everything else is 6 inches thick. And so just making sure that we are placing that thing, you know, in the best location we can to distribute that load and not compromise our concrete slab or anything like that up there. And then the last bullet point here in this list, in-house site improvements. So again, back to the scale. In order to get better access to that scale, it's a little bit tight of a turn right now, especially if you're going up there with a, you know, four-door long box pickup and a trailer or anything like that. You're gonna have a pretty tough time making that corner. And this is something that I believe we can do in-house. I went up there and looked at this with our public works foreman, and I don't believe that it would take very much for us to basically cut back with a grader a little bit, maybe add a little bit of rock if we needed to, and basically just expand that roadway a little bit into where the tire pile is essentially, or towards the light pole that is up there. That's going to give us, you know, another 15 feet or so to just widen that to have better access to that scale. That's ultimately going to help us charge the way we need to be charging for this. So with that, Kim, could we go to the next slide, please? So many more things were considered than what we have talked about here, or what you just saw in that list. And some of those things, a conveyor. So a lot of balers are combined with a conveyor. That's what Petersburg has and a lot of our neighbors. We are not including a conveyor in this project due to a number of reasons. One, I think the initial cost is somewhere between $150,000 and $175,000 for the conveyor. That's not including shipping or installation or maintenance or anything like that. In order to install a conveyor, we would also have to cut a hole in the floor and recess that conveyor down into the floor, which would be a major building modification, which would also drive up cost. Skid steer or loader. A lot of places they basically use a front end loader or a skid steer to push the trash around on their tipping floor, and they push it onto this conveyor, and then as the trash goes up the conveyor, there's a staff member who basically sits there and watches the trash go up the conveyor, and that is a way to sort the trash going into the baler and shut it down if you need to, and pull something off that's not supposed to go in there. We believe that we can do this with our excavator that we currently have, and be able to, you know, sort through the trash a little bit with that and look for any things that we don't want to be going into the baler. And then our forklift will allow us to basically move around the bales and get them loaded into the container and things like that. And a used forklift is substantially cheaper than even a used skid steer. It's definitely a more expensive piece of equipment, especially when you start adding in attachments and things like that. And so that was kind of why we passed on the skid steer front end loader. The compactor, I had already talked about that here in an earlier slide, another machine for basically compressing trash into containers. The loading dock, I referenced that with the ramp, and I just want to explain a little bit why the loading dock is not really the most feasible option for us. The primary reason is it comes down to space. And if we have a container on a chassis where we currently load open top containers, we have minimal room, like less than 20 feet to build a ramp that would go down to basically, you know, the floor of the container on the chassis. And the reason why there's a limitation there is because the tipping floor and the floor for where the container sits, the open top containers, there's quite a bit of difference in that floor. So for us to be able to create a ramp down to it, we would either have to expand on the building, or if we tried to do it in the space that we had, you'd have to basically create a turn in there. And there's just not enough room for us to be able to make that corner to add some kind of loading dock in. And that actually reminds me, space was another issue with the conveyor, not to backtrack too much here, but that was the other limitation with the conveyor that I forgot to mention, is space. You know, I laid out the balers in multiple different variations, you know, on graph paper in you know, the specs of our facility. And when you add a conveyor, it essentially takes up, you know, almost the entire floor, and you have minimal room on each end of the equipment to be able to work or get around or do maintenance or anything like that. And so a conveyor would pretty much take up all the space, and therefore that was another reason why that wasn't a good option. We also considered, you know, improving our scale or perhaps moving the scale and talking about, you know, man, we gotta be able to charge by weight. And that is gonna be a way for us to capture more revenue. And, you know, early on we considered, okay, well, should we move the scale down into the roadway? That way you have to go over it, you know, either way, if you're coming or going, it's kind of built into the driveway. Again, it would just add up significant costs. The scale where it is current, we currently maintain the scale and it is operational and it works. And for us to dig it up and try and move it, we would have to start over with some of those things. And then the other thing to say about it is, when we add an automated system into this, it will be nice to have the scale where it is currently located, because the automated system would be right outside the office. There would be less infrastructure to put it in, as far as having to run lines and electricity or anything like that to it. And so that is kind of where we settled on with let's try and maximize what we have, basically. And then the last item here, in items considered but not fully included in this presentation, is a public-private partnership. And Lisa, please feel free to jump in here if I miss anything. And sorry, I'm not looking at the screen. I'm looking at my other computer screen here just to make sure I get everything right. But basically, we have been contacted by a private entity, and we've had two meetings with representatives of that company that is interested in a partial or full operational responsibility of our sanitation department. This could be a complete divestiture. It could be, you know, a hybrid option where there's a public-private partnership or some kind of management contract. In May, city administration plans on discussing with the assembly a timeline for full consideration of private sector options. And this process will be somewhat similar to the hospital divestiture. And at the end of the day, you know, this is a process that is going to take some time, and it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And at the end of the day, we still need the baler. We still need to be able to better manage our trash and get it into closed containers. In which case, you know, the purpose of this presentation, we still need to move forward with the baler. Even if we are going to explore a public-private partnership, this is still something that we need to be able to move forward with. Lisa, do you have anything to add on that?
No, Tom, you encapsulated it. If there are any questions, I can help with those later on.
Great. With that, Kim, I think I'm ready for the next slide. All right. So, staffing. In working with our consultant, we believe that the automated system will allow us to try and continue with two staff. Essentially, one staff will be, you know, operations will remain very similar to what they are. One staff would be managing the facility while another staff member is out driving the truck. In the afternoon, when the dump would be closed, those two employees would work together to bale that day's waste. Anytime a staff member is away, we will continue to need to support the sanitation department with an employee from another department, mostly because, you know, a safety concern and consideration of operating this kind of equipment and things like that. You know, basically everybody recommends that there should be two people present when this machine is in operation. Just for reference, Petersburg has four staff in their sanitation department. Petersburg does manage a good amount more trash than what we do. And they also have a recycling program. And so definitely a little bit more higher needs, but I still just wanted to include that in for reference. Lastly, I know I have talked briefly with the assembly about getting rid of our tire pile and working with CSWA on procuring a tire shear. Last update I had on that is sounds like Wrangell might be the first place to get that, as everywhere else basically thought we had higher needs for it, which is great. And just want to make sure that everybody is aware that in order for us to do that, we would likely need an additional part-time or seasonal staff, as that machine would basically need to run, you know, 8 hours a day for weeks on end to really put any kind of dent in the tire pile. And with two staff, we would not have an option to do that with just our sanitation staff. So with that, Kim, next slide, please. Okay, so this drawing here is a little bit of the layout of the facility. This picture here is kind of the main room, the main tipping floor area up there at the sanitation building. The lines on the left there is basically the push wall. And so where it says layout on the slide, that's essentially the loading bay where we park our open top containers currently. So couple things to note here on the layout. Letter I there at the top left of the drawing, that will continue to be the tipping floor area where trash is dumped out and sorted through. That will be the same as what it is. G is basically where the excavator would be parked, and that is so that it can sort through the trash and then load it into the baler, which is the bottom left portion of the drawing. Letter H is where the hopper would be located on the baler, and F is where the platform scale would be and where the bales would come out and be bound. Once the bales would be bound, we would use the forklift to move them over into the L and K region of the drawing here. And we'd have enough space to be able to store, you know, 28 to 32 bales or so, which is what goes into a container roughly, depending on the weight. We'd have plenty of room there to be able to store that. And then on the far right there, around the oil tank and everything that is at the facility, that would continue to store some, you know, household hazardous waste as it gets brought in until it can get into its proper location, or you know, things like cooking oil that have to be spread out or dispersed into the bales and things like that. We can't just throw a bunch of them in at once. We kind of have to spread those out throughout the process. And so that area would continue to be used for that. And then the trucks would be parked inside the loading bay. That way we can keep that equipment indoors at night, at least as much as we can, and keep that stuff covered. One or two other things to note here. If you look next to the baler, you see the letter A with the arrows next to it. That's a pretty big space in between the baler and the push wall. And the reason why that is there is because you know, a baler could break down. It's a piece of equipment, right? And if the baler breaks down, we still need to have an option to be able to ship in open top containers. And this is something that AML is aware of, and something that the other communities, you know, occasionally have to do if there's a significant breakdown and they have to wait for parts. So the point I'm getting at here is that space is left there so that we could still get an excavator into that location, and so that we could still load an open top container in the loading bay if we needed to. And then on the backside of the baler, letters C and D, it's a big piece of equipment that definitely requires maintenance, and we wanna make sure we're giving ourselves enough space that when we do have to fix things or do have to do maintenance or clean this machine, that we have enough room to operate and work. And so that is essentially the explanation of the layout. Next slide, please, Kim. Operations. For users, the biggest things that will change would be we need to encourage much more sorting out of our users. There's items that cannot go in the baler, you know, heavy steel or tanks or certain construction debris like shingles and drywall don't bale very well. Large items like a couch or something would have to be broken down. You know, I know in Petersburg, they had an oxygen tank get in the baler one time, and when that thing compressed, it exploded and shot through the roof. So definitely a thing we want to be very mindful of and very conscious of to make sure we don't have any other issues. The other big thing that is likely to change with users is rates. I don't have a number to speak to at this time. Something we are going to have to do with this project is to do a rate study to make sure that we are charging what we need to make sure that we are able to pay for and maintain this equipment. So moving on to pickup. Pickup will essentially remain the same for users. There will still be daily garbage routes and an operator going out and picking up trash and bringing it back to the transfer station. The scale I've already talked about, you know, not charging by the yard and charging by weight and having that automated system that gets us a printed ticket and weighs you on the way in or weighs you on the way out. And having an automated billing system that can charge people directly to their utility accounts. And then also providing the option for cash or card there at the facility. With regards to baling, we load the hopper with the excavator, minimizing our need for additional equipment. Bales are close to 1 ton once baled and bound. If we're doing, you know, 3 to 5 bales in a day, sounds like standard practice or industry standard is, you know, that should take us about 2 hours worth of time to sort that trash, get it in the hopper, and get it all baled and bound and off to the side. The platform scale will again allow us to weigh each bale and make sure that we're hitting our target weight. And then loading the bales with the ramp. Once we have enough bales to fill a container, we'll basically need to contact AML. Hey, you know, can you bring a container up this afternoon when the dump's going to be closed? We'll get that container loaded that afternoon and hopefully get it out that afternoon or first thing the next morning so that we're not disrupting the yard too much up there at the waste transfer station. And lastly, with regards to operations, shipping will mostly remain the same. Republic will provide us with new closed containers instead of the open ones that we're currently using. And, you know, garbage will go down to Seattle and then it's transferred by rail to South Central Washington and goes into a landfill there. All of that process will essentially remain the same. Next slide, please, Kim. So here's a spreadsheet for the cost breakdown. Amber, I believe, is going to be talking a little bit more about this here later on tonight. This is in the agenda packet for later on. I wanted to include it in this presentation though, just to have all the information in one place and give a brief overview, I guess, before Amber goes into further detail. But just a couple things to note. You know, you'll see the baler itself is by far the biggest ticket item at $347,600. And I'd have to ask Amber again now. I believe that this is still our quote from, actually, I'll let Amber speak to that. But basically, everybody knows the cost of materials and the cost of everything is going up right now. And so, you know, kind of the sooner we can move this process along, the less risk we put the borough in of that price going up even further with the price of steel and fuel and shipping and everything like that. The other thing to note there, the vehicle scale upgrades and that automated system is kind of the next most expensive item at $55,000. And which brings us to a subtotal of $594,000 with a 5% contingency. That brings us to, you know, a total of $623,873.25 for this project. Next slide, please, Kim. So our next steps and the remaining work and timeline of what needs to be done. The biggest things that we need to start moving forward with is procurement of the baler. And Amber is also going to be talking about a sole source of the baler and doing that to be in line with what some of our neighbors are doing and the availability to share parts or to share costs for any kind of maintenance calls or needs from manufacturers or anything like that. Once we pull the trigger on a baler, it takes about 3 months to build. Take, you know, probably closer to 2 weeks to ship up here. And while all of this is going on, we'll need to be doing the facility modifications or additions and also doing this rate study to make sure we are charging what we should be and what will also be practical for citizens and users of Wrangell. And then once here in town, installation will take us close to a week. The baler comes in three pieces. It is a pretty heavy piece of equipment. We have talked to some operators and contractors in town here about what it would take to basically get that heavy piece of equipment into the building and into place. And then once in place and set up, manufacturer will help us get it all installed and everything. We will need to train our staff and get ourselves familiarized with this equipment. And, you know, that will probably take 1 to 2 weeks until we are basically fully operational baling. And kind of best case scenario here, if we're able to move forward this month, we could be baling as early as September 1st. And worst case scenario, we should still be able to be baling by November. And I have spoken with Dan Kelly from AML. He's one of the head guys down there in Seattle. And he has assured me that AML will provide us a written letter regarding extending the June deadline. Once we can show them that the equipment has been purchased and is on the way, they basically just need to see that there is some concrete evidence that things are moving forward. I have updated Republic and AML, I would say every couple of weeks since January with where we are at in this project. And my understanding in talking to AML, we are a little bit ahead of where Sitka and I can't remember the other community that is still on the hook for being able to send trash in closed containers. But sounds like we're in pretty good shape there, and AML is certainly willing to work with us once we have some concrete steps forward. Last slide, please, Kim. So just to review a little bit, the biggest thing that we need to do at this point is procurement of the baler. That is definitely our most crucial next step. Amber and I and our consultant and operators are finalizing some of the last of the smaller details. And a baler is going to help us keep in compliance with the requirements of the companies that manage our waste. And, you know, a lot of options have been explored and considered over the last several months. And we believe our plan here is going to be effective as well as economical. And we've taken many steps to try and minimize cost. And with that, I will open it up to any questions the assembly might have for me at this time.
Could I please get the screen share off, Kim? Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Tom or Amber? Assembly Member Gilbert?
Yes, a very good presentation, Tom. You actually answered most of my questions. I did have the opportunity to view the video of the Harris Badger baler, and it was very impressive. However, they only showed videos of baling similar materials like wood, and then they would bale cardboard and paper. And I'm just wondering, have you ever seen evidence of them baling dissimilar materials like we would have here in Wrangell? And then the other question, I also noticed that it took three operators to man the Badger baler, and granted it was the larger model, but it seemed like there was one at the controls, which were located not adjacent to where the bale comes out, and then there was a person at the bale receiving the bale, and then there was a person loading the hopper. So, and you think you can do it with two people. So those are my two questions.
Yeah, those are great questions. So I will touch on the first one here. You are able to bale trash in the baler, which, you know, could be any number of household things that people are throwing out. When you're doing recyclables, they try to, as much as possible, separate those things out. And, you know, bigger municipalities, they'll have a baler just for cardboard, and then they'll have one just for cans, and then they'll have one just for garbage. Ketchikan has two balers to be able to separate things out like that more. And so, you know, there will still need to be things that are sorted out, and we'll still continue to try and burn as much cardboard and wood as what we can. Any big pieces of metal would still need to go in the metal pile, and there's still some uncertainty with how we're going to be able to move forward with that, if Shorty's going to get things going or not, and we're continuing to explore down that option. And then, you know, if we ever did want to add a recycling program, I think the best way for us to do it in talking with Petersburg is it's not really cost effective for them to drive out and pick up recyclables from everybody's house. Talking to Chris Cotto over there, they are losing money doing that. And so what they're planning on moving towards is basically a commingled drop-off station where you would go and drop off all your recyclables in one place. And then they would be able to manage that, you know, once that container was full, and bale things like that then. So it is possible to bale different materials together. In an ideal world, you wouldn't, because you're just not going to make as much money. Like when you ship your recyclables down south, you're not going to make as much money if everything is commingled. Whereas if everything's separated out, that's one less step that they have to do down there. We're going to get a better rate. And then to address your second question, I think a big difference for a lot of places is a conveyor and having a person who's up on the conveyor, and another person who's down at the controls, and then a person in the equipment. I think that, you know, in a lot of places that is how it would run, because they would have the staff to do that. And if that means that, hey, we've got to load what we can with the excavator, dump in a couple loads, and then that person has to jump out and help out actually run the baler. We are going to do everything we can to explore that and try to do that before, you know, we make any recommendations or requests for an additional staff.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I just didn't know where the controls were on the model that we're going to purchase.
Right. Yeah, I'd have to go back to the slide with the technical specs, but a lot of the controls will be, I'd have to show you on the drawing. It'll be hard for me to explain. Okay. But there is some ability to move pieces of the baler from one side to the other. Like I know talking with some of the other communities, the biggest maintenance issue that they have with balers is with the wire tie system and getting backlashes and different things like that. And so it has been recommended, you know, make sure that thing is out of the way and make sure that you have spare parts on hand for that. And so there is some ability to do that with at least that part of the equipment. I'd have to show you on the picture a little bit more, and I can follow up on that if that'd be helpful.
Okay. And then the other thing I wondered about was rusting, you know, but it's going to be inside, so that should take care of that. So thank you.
Yeah, you're right. We're going to do everything we can to protect that expensive asset. And then, you know, the only thing I guess I would throw out in addition to that is you know, working with trash. It's you know, a highly corrosive, toxic environment. There's all kinds of nasty things that could end up in there. And so definitely, you know, a big driving factor for why we need to keep that piece of equipment clean.
Okay. Assembly member Dalrymple.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Tom, I want to congratulate you on your presentation and the research you did. I think, you know, working with the other communities to kind of learn from them and what you came up with is probably the best solution. I have a couple questions not related directly to the baler, though. This automated scale system with payment, could you real briefly explain the advantage of that versus the system right now? I'm a little concerned about both the price and the complexity of those systems. In the automation, I wasn't sure if that's saving us a position, you know, a person in wages or it's just an increased cost. I do like the idea of paying by the weight. And it would seem like maybe we could use that existing scale to do that. Then I also noticed, maybe I didn't see it right, but there was $30,000 for a bathroom expansion. Can you explain how that's related to this?
Absolutely. So with regards to the automated system and the benefits of that, it certainly will help us cut down on staffing needs. If we don't have an automated system, we basically have to have an attendant who is very in tune to everybody coming in and out of the facility and making sure that everybody is being charged and things like that. It's less time that they're spending helping people sort through to get the trash into the correct locations or prepping for the afternoon to start baling trash or anything like that. So that's one. And then two, it just, it creates less room for error. Right now we write paper receipts that we bring down to City Hall that then get entered in to people's utility accounts. So our operators are writing out a paper receipt and then they're having to drive down to City Hall, drop that off. And then somebody at City Hall, Sherry, I believe, is entering that into people's utility accounts. And so that is definitely time and money that we are spending doing that. And having an automated system that bills directly to accounts will streamline that process quite a bit. And it also provides us better records and better record keeping. And so those are some of the benefits of the automated system. And then as far as the bathroom expansion goes, my understanding is this has kind of been an issue at the sanitation building for some time now. They currently don't really have a good bathroom facility or option to be able to clean their clothes or anything like that. And
I can speak to this too if you want.
Yeah, that might be best, Lisa, because you and I had talked about this when we were going over the budget, and I think you probably have the more complete picture.
So, Bob, thank you for this question. This has been a huge concern of mine since I arrived in Wrangell, actually. It in my opinion, is a health and safety issue for our sanitation employees. They are going home in the clothes they are wearing for the day at the sanitation department, and they are taking those clothes into their home and into the same washer and dryer that, you know, their family's clothes are being washed, and they don't have a place to shower up at the facility. They don't have a place to wash clothes or, let's say, overalls or a uniform that they would be given to wear instead, you know, over their clothing so that they're able to go home in clothing. And so this, in my mind, is a health and safety issue that needs to be taken care of with shower and laundry facilities within the bathroom up there.
Thank you.
We have a few minutes left. Does anybody have any other questions for Tom, Amber, or Lisa?
Amber, did you have anything to add on the benefits of the automated system? Did I get everything there with that? I just want to make sure I got all the info out there.
I think you've covered it well, Tom.
Okay. Lisa, one of the questions I have is on the automated billing system. Will that work with our current software that we have, or is there an additional module that will need to be purchased?
This is stuff that has yet to be determined, Mr. Mayor. It's an estimate as part of the full project, and so we have to, those details have to be worked out still.
Good question. I'd like to ask that we have an idea on that, because I have to say I side with Assembly Member Dalrymple that I don't want to purchase some automated system and have the back end not able to function with the front end. So we really need to have it simultaneously.
Agreed, Mr. Mayor. And that is not part of what's being asked for purchase or consideration this evening.
We can, though, Mr. Mayor, we can reach out to our consultant. And I believe the company is Unitech that creates the automated system and basically try to coordinate with them and the people who have the information for what our current software is and try to find out more information on what the compatibility is with that.
Thank you. Well, I want to just echo the other assembly members. That was an excellent presentation, Tom, and I think really brought us along nicely to understand what we need to do for the community. I just want to remind everyone, this is an item that we are compelled to do. If we do not do this, we will not be allowed to ship our trash off island, and we are not allowed to landfill our own trash on the island due to, I believe it's EPA considerations. Amber, is EPA the right alphabet there?
DEC, I believe.
DEC, okay.
And our landfill is closed.
It's closed. Yeah.
Well, we did look at options. We did look at options years ago about potentially trying to use old rock pits and all kinds of other ideas that just didn't pan out. So this is something that we are compelled to do moving forward. I want to thank again all of the work that everybody did on this, and we'll take it up in the session. At this point, it is 6:55 p.m. We will adjourn our work session, and we will come back into session at 7 p.m. for our regular assembly meeting. Thank you.